Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. It is written, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. It is written, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. I saw a boy in an open field as I was passing by, standing very, very still, looking into the sky. I said, lad, what are you doing? What is it that you see that you stand so all alone and look so earnestly? He said, I'm flying far away a kite, and I'm having lots of fun. I've got it up so very high it's almost to the sun. I stopped and looked a little while, gazing into space, and though I looked and looked and looked of a kite, I saw no trace. I said, lad, there is no kite. I do not see a thing. He said, oh, yes, the kite's up there. I can feel the tug of the string. Sometimes we, too, lose sight of God. Sometimes our faith is dim. Sometimes because we are so small, we, too, do not see him. The scoffer says, there is no God. He will not hear your prayer. And then there's the tug on the heartstring that tells us God is there.
For God is just a prayer.
ladies and gentlemen, from Genesis chapter 1, a few thoughts on creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that is the big one. If you can believe that statement, you should not have any trouble believing anything else in the Bible. Walking on the water, swallowed by a whale, healing lepers, restoring sight to the blind, raising the dead. Any and all of these things are nothing compared to creating the universe out of nothing. This is the big one. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Some folk do not believe in God. The Bible speaks of these folks when it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Some folk today are even bigger fools than that. The fool in the Bible only said it in his heart. There are some today who blab it with their mouth. God did not explain how he did it or when he did it. He just said he did it, and he did it in the beginning. He said he created the heaven, plural, and the earth, singular. Actually, there are three heavens in the Scripture. One heaven is the heaven of our atmosphere where the birds fly. Jeremiah mentioned the fowl of the heaven, the fowl that eat road kills. Did you know that there will be buzzards in heaven? They will be in the first heaven. The second heaven is the heaven where the stars and sun and moon are found. Isaiah tells us of the stars of heaven, and the constellations shall not give their light. The third heaven is the heaven of God and the angels. Concerning unbelievers, the psalmist says in one place, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision." When the first Russian cosmonaut went into outer space, he said that he had gone to heaven. And he said he saw no God up there. The problem was he didn't go high enough. He only went through the first heaven and the second heaven. He did not see God because he did not go far enough. The cosmonaut was just about as dumb as a lady I saw in the airport several years ago in Norfolk, Virginia. She was presiding over a display that advertised the need for America to go to Mars by 2020 AD. As I approached, she asked me if I was interested in the space program. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said she had all the information I needed in the book she had on display. I said, "Yes, but your sign says you're only going as far as Mars. I want to go all the way to heaven. And I have all the information you need right here in this book." And I opened my pocket New Testament. I said, "Do you want to go?" And she laughed and said, "No." She wanted to go to Mars, but was not interested in the least about going to heaven. How long ago was it when God made the earth? James Usher, who died in 1656, said that God started the whole process in 4004 B.C. Some Bibles use Usher's timetable in the center column of the Bible. Remember, God did not say it was 4004 B.C. Some say that God created the heavens and the earth as long as 10,000 years ago. None of these dates can be proven. However, you need not live in ignorance. I can tell you the exact day when God created the heavens and the earth. I will not use the Gregorian calendar that we use today, nor will I use the Julian calendar that the Romans used. I will use God's calendar. The exact day and year that God created the heavens and the earth was on New Year's Day in the year of one. Numero Uno. The day before the actual day of creation was New Year's Day minus one. Some like to think that the 6 days that God used to create the heavens and the earth were 6 ages of great periods of time. Whatever your view, the Scripture does not read that way. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were going to make up a story about creation and wanted to say that God made everything in 6 literal days, what could you say with more clarity than the way the Scripture reads it? If you were going to make up a story of creation and say that the 6 days were 6 great periods of time, you would not use the same description of creation the Bible uses, because it would certainly sound confusing. Some think to accept the six literal days views makes them sound ignorant. So in self-defense, they go along with the various age theory, such as the Cenozoic Age, the Mesozoic Age, the Paleozoic Age, and the Protozoic Age. Suffice it to say that whatever your view, anyone who rejects the Word of God at any place from Genesis to Revelation is living in the Dumazoic Age. I will have to admit that the pressure to conform is great. I have been sorely tried in my faith. One time back in the 50s of the 20th century, I was walking down the streets in downtown Cincinnati. I came around a corner called Race Street, and I saw a beautiful powder blue Buick convertible with the top down. As I came up behind the car, I could see a young couple, well-dressed, sitting in the car. They seemed to have a baby car seat hanging between them. Obviously, an infant was in it. I saw the young man turn to the infant and said something like, "Itchy Kitchy Coo, Papa's little baby." Then the young woman cooed the same, and about this time I was walking past the car and turned to see this wondrous marvel. It was a monkey. My faith was shaken. I thought, maybe there's something to this evolution thing. We have evolved from apehood to humanhood, and now we're starting back in the other direction again. We might comment on what happened at the moment that God created the heavens and the earth. The thing that happened, according to what God said to Job, was that the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. What did the morning stars sing, and what did they shout? I can only give my opinion on this, but I truly believe that when God created the worlds, the song the morning stars sang together was, "How great thou art!" I truly believe that the thing the innumerable host of angels shouted together as the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thunders was, "Yahoo!" I was talking to a Christian one time who said that he tried to prove to an atheist that there was a God. But he said the atheist would not accept his evidence. I asked him, what evidence did he have that there is a God who made the heavens and the earth? He said, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I were asked to prove that there is a God, I would use an apostolic argument. I would point to the heavens like the Apostle Paul and say, the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived by the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they might be without excuse. Because at knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Many years ago, I saw a short feature as a child in the movies on the life of Mark Twain. Mark Twain said he was born in 1835 in that movie, the year Halley's Comet appeared. He said he had a feeling that when Halley's Comet came back, he would move on at that time. Halley's Comet came back in 1910, and Mark Twain died about that time. Halley's Comet came back again 75 years later. In 1985, I saw it myself as it was streaking across the sky. How could any sane person look at such precision in the heavens and say there is no God? The sun, the moon, and the stars stand as witnesses against the unbelieving atheist. The second verse of Genesis tells us that in the beginning the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, that changed everything. The condition of the world before the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters is a story of every person's life outside of Christ. Your life without Christ is void and barren and has no form. Without Christ, your life is all bent out of shape. Your life without Christ is just as barren as Mars and Jupiter. You may be rich, educated, in high position, but without the Holy Spirit, you are running on empty and living in the dark. Not only that, you are without form. In other words, without Jesus, you are all bent out of shape. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If God made it, He can certainly destroy it. The Apostle Peter tells us the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the things that are therein shall be burned up. Throughout this chapter is a demonstration of the power of the Word of God. 8 times it is mentioned that God said something in regard to creation. The first time was regarding the darkness of the earth, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There's a great spiritual lesson there. Let there be light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Let there be light. Let us have a little light on the matter of man's response to the gospel. What happens when a person hears the gospel, the story of how we crucified the Lord of glory and He was raised from the dead? When people first heard the story, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were not told that Peter said, "Bow your heads and pray the sinner's prayer and say, 'Lord, save me.'" So let's have a little more light on the subject. What really did happen? Why, Peter said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You don't have to live in the dark any longer. Let there be light. And there was light. 6 times we are told in this chapter that when God said, "Let there be something," He said, "And it was so." Whenever God says, "And it was so," there are many today who insist that it is not so. "I have just told you what God said to do to be saved." Many will say, "It's not so." Tell people what God said about hell, and they will say, "It's not so." You can be sure if God says it was so, it is so. One time He said, if He could not find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, the capital of the world at that time of the homosexuals, that He would destroy the city with a shower of fire and brimstone. That is exactly what He did. God said it was happening, and it was so. God said His Son would be born of the Virgin, and it was so. Many will tell you that it is not so. In the 9th verse we are told, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." That happened on the 3rd day of creation. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you read on the 3rd day, you may be standing on resurrection ground. The first resurrection took place on the 3rd day. The ground emerged from the watery deep, and the dry land appeared. We remember that the Lord arose from the dead early on the 3rd day. How long has the Lord been gone from this world? We know that it's almost 2,000 years. Think again. Peter said, "A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." How long has the Lord been gone? From His standpoint, He only left about 2 days ago. If the resurrection of the dead takes place early on the 3rd day, it looks like for us in this generation it could happen any time. Perhaps some would ask, "Are you saying that the Lord can come this very year?" No, I'm not making any predictions. I'm only saying that in view of how God regards time, we at this time may be standing on resurrection ground. In verse 4, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Darkness cannot exist where there is light. Spiritually, however, people cannot tell the difference. They call light darkness. Isaiah said it for us when he states, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." Homosexuality used to be a sin, now it's a virtue. Living together without marriage vows used to be a sin, now it's a virtue, because everybody is doing it. Killing used to be murder. Now, in some cases, it's called a pro-choice. Light is no longer light. Darkness is no longer dark. Everything is dark, twilight, or sort of gray. Paul gives the warning for us all. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in jealousy and strife, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In verse 21 is where we are instructed that God made the animals. He made rabbits, cats, dogs, all kinds of animals, including dinosaurs. Some wonder what happened to all those dinosaurs. I know exactly what happened to the dinosaurs. I'll explain it like this. I was sitting in a restaurant not too many years ago, eating breakfast. While I was waiting for my bacon and eggs, I was reading the paper, and I saw a report that they had found a perfectly preserved Tyrannosaurus in one of the western states. It told how many tons he weighed, and the report said his teeth were like serrated steak knives. The article said that the beast was found in a fetal position, all curled up, lying in a bog. And the writer of that article said it looked like he had died in some kind of a flood. I thought to myself, I don't know who wrote that story, but thou art not far from the kingdom of God. The dinosaurs, according to that report, must have died in Noah's flood. And that, dear friends, is what happened to the dinosaurs. In view of the logic of this explanation, do you not admit that the other explanation you have heard sounds a little stupid? In verse 26 and 27 is the account of creation of man. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Some seem to think that God has a body just like ours. But we were made in his, because we were made in his image. The making of man in the image of God has nothing to do with the physical. Paul tells us in Philippians that Jesus was in the form of God, and then took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Since Jesus gave up being in the form of God to be made in the likeness of man, evidently men do not have the same body as God. Then, too, remember that Jesus said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Whatever is being made in the image of God must mean that it has nothing to do with the physical. One thing it does refer to is the mind of man. We can reason and make decisions. Our mind is different than the animals. I heard of a dog one time who was highly intelligent and seemed to have the mind like a human. He had been taught to play checkers. One man doubted the dog's ability to play checkers and went into the house where the dog lived and played him. When the man came out, someone asked him, "Now, don't you think that is one smart dog?" The man said, "Oh, I don't know about that. I played him 3 games and beat him 2 out of 3. Verse 28 tells us, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply." Aside from the obvious meaning of this statement, there is a great spiritual meaning here. The church needs to be fruitful and multiply. The only way the church can multiply is when members are added via the birth route. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." This is an obvious reference to Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they then that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Then they kept on adding and adding and adding until it says in the 5th chapter of Acts that they were multiplied. That is what the Lord told them to do. Multiply. Remember, the Lord also said, "Be fruitful." When you are born again of water and of the Spirit, it just naturally follows that you will be fruitful. What kind of fruit is it? Paul tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. By their fruits ye shall know them. Ladies and gentlemen, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was so. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.